Hello, everybody. Dear listeners, welcome to our first podcast episode in English. I'm a bit nervous because it's our first podcast in English, and I'm not doing it in my mother tongue, German, but in a foreign language. So that's really exciting. But I'm even more excited because we have a very, very special guest today. And that might be a little bit challenging sometimes on an emotional level. Let's see. Because our dear guest, Olga Berschatzka from Kiev is here with us today. And she is with us in Leipzig since February 2022. And we all know she's not here because she wants to work with us a bit from Leipzig after we have done several projects together in Saxony and in the Ukraine since 2017. But she's here because she's currently living and she currently must live in exile. So, dear Olga, welcome to Trafohaus Lehre.
Thank you, Claudia, for having me here.
I'm really happy that we find the time to talk about, and you all might already have an idea what we will talk about in some minutes. We will talk about higher education development from exile, how Olga is doing this, how she's working together with colleagues all over the world and with colleagues who are in Ukraine. But because this is our first podcast in English, let me quickly introduce in English what we are doing in this podcast and what this podcast is about. We started the podcast in April 2020, and we always chat about topics related to higher education, teaching, and academic development. And this is a podcast done by the HDS, an organization for teaching and learning in higher education in Saxony. And it's located in a former transformer building. The German term is Trafohaus. And it's on campus Janallee in Leipzig. And that's how the title was born. So that's why we call it Trafohaus Lehre. And it's a podcast for teaching staff, for students, and anyone interested in higher education, teaching and learning, and teaching and learning enhancement. And my name is Claudia Bader. I'm the scientific director of HDS, and I enjoy doing this podcast. It's really a pleasure for me to do it because I have the chance through the podcast to talk with people in teaching, with students, other people involved in teaching and learning in higher education. And because I'm more and more entrusted with science management tasks and scientific management, this is my chance to talk to people who are closer to teaching and learning in higher education than I am. And the podcast is no longer than 30 minutes, so it's really a short podcast, and we are never talking with more than 2 to 3 people. So today, as already mentioned, I'm quite nervous doing this in English, and really, really happy that I have the chance to talk with Olga about her actual situation and the situation a little bit of her colleagues and students from Ukraine. And before we do that, Olga, can you please quite briefly introduce yourself?
Thank you, Claudia. I am a teacher at Ukrainian University, Kyiv Mohyla Academy. Before the full-scale invasion, I used to be the head of quality insurance department at my university, but I left the position. I also work as educational trainer for teachers and as a consultant for different organizations, for example, for Ministry of Education in Ukraine, for UNICEF, and other that are interested in education.
Okay, thank you so much. And when we go a little bit closer to our topic, which is teaching and learning, the global topic of the podcast, what defines good teaching in higher education for you?
Thank you. That is a great question. Actually, that is that has been transforming over the last decades. And now good higher education for me is to help students find themselves in this changeable world, to teach them principles, how to work with information, how to work with propaganda, how to understand what you need to learn to be better and demanded in your profession. So just to teach students to learn themselves. somehow mm-hmm. like that.
Okay, and this is already a great introduction or a great shift to my first question, because how do you do that at the moment, or how do you help people who help students to find their path in the world and students in Ukraine? How can you do it at the moment? And perhaps keep in mind that there are people listening to this podcast who are quite interesting in everyday news from Ukraine, but who perhaps never heard about the situation of the scientific system in Ukraine at the moment. Perhaps we should start even with that. What is going on in science since the invasion in 2022?
So there are so many thoughts at the moment.
Sorry.
That's okay. So about the system, we have universities, we have colleges all over Ukraine. Different universities are in different situations because in east of Ukraine, of course, there are buildings damaged, facilities damaged. Some universities have been displaced more to the west. In the center and in the west of the country, a lot of universities are working offline like they used to before. But of course, teachers and students are not in the same condition, emotional, mm-hmm. mental, and so on, as they used to be before. And since I've got a qualification as a facilitator as well, I remember and share this principle that you should meet people where they are at the moment. So mm-hmm. for teachers and for students, having the space for having the opportunity to deal with the emotional state. So of mm-hmm. course, I am, as an educational trainer, I am not psychotherapist, but I have to take into account that people study slower, that people are more emotionally fragile, that people mm-hmm. need to be taught or need to learn how to help themselves to regulate emotional states or triggering situations. So mm-hmm. all this has become a part of our everyday teaching.
Okay. And is this one aspect, one concrete aspect of helping students to find their path?
Oh, thank you for reminding the question.
No worries, but it was kind of an answer, but perhaps there's even something more concrete or more overall. Yes.
About finding the path, that's also about helping students to understand what they need at the moment and what they can mm-hmm. at the moment and where they can find it. For example, mm-hmm. many students, mostly girls, mm-hmm. have used the opportunity of studying at the European universities.
Okay.
But many of them want to get back when they can. And also, so to show the opportunities, to show how, what is out there for them is one of the tasks of the higher education. So not to lock them in the system, but to show different mm-hmm. opportunities. And there are some. And yes.
No, go on.
One more thing I wanted to add, that's we were quite lucky that COVID happened before the invasion, which means we were ready for online education. It's the mm-hmm. first case in history when the country being in the war have kept the educational process almost at the same scale as it was before the invasion. Mm-hmm. Invasion, but it also means that our teachers should and students should master these skills, how to teach online, especially in the stressful situation and also with all the electricity cutdowns and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to mention, because there are other situations now. It's great that people have the tools to teach and learn online, and even had the possibility to train it in the pandemic before. But now you have this electricity shutdowns and so on. So then online learning is not so easy anymore. So it's a lot of not synchronized online learning, but more depending on when, who has electricity and so on.
Yeah, it's not only about who and when has electricity, because now the situation is better, but we never know when it changes, like it changes rapidly. Also, it's about the internet signal. Is it reliable or not? It's also about the fact that teachers and students are all over the world at the moment, and time zones are different.
Okay.
The situation in which they are learning, studying are different. Like not everyone has a separate quiet room where to read something, let alone have quality Zoom meeting. So all the word diversity has acquired totally new meaning for Ukrainian higher education, diversity and inclusion.
Okay. When you talked about the quite simple things like a separate room or something, is there other ideas in your mind where German universities or the other universities around the world could help Ukrainian students and teachers, perhaps only by providing rooms where you can study and let them use. I know that a lot of universities already do that, but when you think about your colleagues, yourself, and students who are abroad now and live in exile, what can we do to help them work better or study better? Is there anything?
Yeah, so the room, the quiet space, quiet place with good internet connection, maybe with laptop and I don't know, some equipment which would that would help. One more thing is that so that is like on smaller scale, but on larger scale, I would say that the priority would be to save the educational system in Ukraine. So, of course, there are so many opportunities for students to study abroad. But if that can be somehow the part of, I don't know, joint programs, joint curriculums, that would be perfect, because the brain drain is quite a high risk here.
Yes. So you say, I'm totally with you. I totally like the idea of this large scale idea of saving the educational system in Ukraine, and that we can all have a part in it. You said joint programs. Is there anything else, or do you have even a more concrete idea about this joint programs? I can imagine that there are a lot of people now listening who would love to go to their responsible directors or presidents of their universities and do something very concrete. Do you have other ideas what they can do?
Yeah, actually all that has already existed before the war, when two universities developed some joint curricula, and luckily no one has to go physically anywhere, because we have online. So this online, so-called online mobility, when, for example, Ukrainian students can have some course from European teacher, or Ukrainian teacher can share something with both Ukrainian and European students. So that can be mixed, and that can enrich both parties, because we all know that COVID put us like at the same point when no one knew what to do. So we know that each country, each group approached these issues in different way, and I'm sure we have what to learn from each other. So it's not only in terms of the field, which also important, like, for example, I don't know, chemistry or math or marketing, but also about how we teach, how we approach. So, and also for our students, studying together with students from other countries, I'm sure that is precious experience.
And it's as a important experience for students from other countries to study together with students from Ukraine. As you already mentioned about diversity and accessibility and so on, these students might learn a lot from their Ukrainian colleagues, right?
Right.
I think it's not only giving, but receiving a lot in, like always, when you cooperate with people from different countries, you are always get a lot and not only give. And you said about this change in teaching and it doesn't depend on the subject, but it's a change in teaching and how you approach a certain aspect. Perhaps you like to talk a little bit about what you are planning. I know we are quite in an early stage of our idea we have together with Suzanne and Katrin, what we mm-hmm. would like to do to support people who are in teaching in Ukraine. Perhaps you can share already two or three ideas with us.
Yeah. The thing is that in Ukraine, quite a lot of teaching and learning is happening online. Mm-hmm. And that brings some challenges, which all teachers all over the world were looking solutions for. And there are many, but still no perfect one. Mm-hmm. So we would like to initiate such workshops where teachers could exchange their ideas. And experts could also share their experience on, for example, how do we conduct the lesson, the class, when you have a group of students in class and some students who joined online. Mm-hmm. So in theory, it looks like really good solution. In practice, yeah. Those who tried know that it has some limits and pitfalls, and it would be really useful to talk about that. Also, assessment online brings up such issue as academic integrity, as reliability of this assessment. So it would be also nice to look deeper into that. So what we want to do is to develop some series of workshops, which mm-hmm. is not lecture where you come and get right answers. We do not know all the right answers. We invite people to exchange, and maybe we will find something new that would help. And there will be several topics, several modules, and participants will be able to pick those that are of higher interest for them. Mm-hmm. So the topics include this hybrid teaching, mm-hmm. which I mentioned already, when part of the group is in room, part of the group is outside. Then also the assessment online, also mm-hmm. trauma-sensitive education, because now mm-hmm. for Ukraine that is very up-to-date. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it so far, but we might come up with other topics as well, if we see the interest.
What I heard from you now is also this aspect of diversity and accessibility. I think there's something we could do a module about that as well, because it's interesting for people in different universities in Ukraine, but also for the colleagues here, because if I have it in mind correctly, we are planning on doing it in English or in Ukraine, so that we also can have modules where teachers from different countries can work together. But we will mm-hmm. also do some of the modules in Ukrainian language or subtitled or so on, so that it is specialized for our colleagues in Ukraine. Right? We said
right.
English and Ukraine, because then talking, that's something I take out of our conversation now, that on a different level, you are learning so much, pushed into the situation about diversity and accessibility, that yes. is huge. I'm happy. I would be happy if it would not be needed. But I think it would be interesting to talk about. You are doing this project with us at the moment, but what are your other personal projects at the moment? How do you? I think some of our listeners might be interested in knowing What is Olga doing at the moment? What are her projects? Or what would she like to do perhaps in the next month?
Yeah, that depends on which of my identity you are asking, because if talking only about my identity of professional, because here in foreign country, I need to take care of my kids and about all everyday tasks, which I shared with my partner in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So speaking about my personal interest, that is cross-cultural communication. And one of the things we have found interest for is how to approach communication in professional context, for example, teaching, learning in different cultural context, or mm-hmm. communicating among professionals, like people who doing research, PhDs, mm-hmm. and things like that. Because one thing is to know English and to know words. So sometimes English is enough. And some people even think that they do not need German if we speak about Germany. But actually, there is so much more you need to pay attention to and be open for. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the attitude to responsibility, the attitude, so who is responsible for your life? Mm. I am responsible for my life, or life is happening to me, mm-hmm. and there are other forces. And here, Germans and Ukrainians are a little bit different, and that is why there might be some misunderstandings, only because the prior assumption is different. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of interesting things to talk about in cross-cultural realm.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
It is.
And I think when you are in your country, in your language, with all the things you knew about since being born, naturally you just learn it and you adapt to the situation, and we forget how lucky we are to be in our bubble, which we knew quite well. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
And already to let you know, we are planning to do a second podcast with a colleague from Ukraine, but in that case it's somebody who is at her Ukrainian university at the moment, and who will talk with us about how it is to teach on the field at the moment and what are their challenges and how they organize teaching and learning at their Ukrainian university at the moment. So there will be a second podcast in the next weeks and month. And as Olga already explained a little bit, we are doing a new project at the moment, or we are planning together with Olga to do this project she just talked about, with the online courses for teaching staff from Ukraine as well as teaching staff from Germany. Let's see what other projects we will hopefully do in the future. And we will link in the show notes as well the projects we already did since 2017 together with colleagues from Ukraine. So my last question, because we are already close to our 30 minutes time frame mark, so we are close to the finish line, I have always one last question, and it's the same final question for some time for everybody who is on the podcast. And our final question at the moment is, which word should be used more often in universities, Olga, and which word should be used less frequently?
Thank you for this question. It made me think. And I was changing my answer several times. So about the word which should be used more often, I think it must be trust.
Okay.
In Ukrainian system, I'm not sure how about German, but I have a feeling that not that much different. There mm-hmm. is quite a lot of regulations what teachers should do, what is expected mm-hmm. of the teacher. And there might be this impression that teacher doesn't have any freedom how to teach and mm-hmm. what to teach. And that is when creativity dies. And that is such a pleasure to learn from people who have this space for creativity. But mm-hmm. for that, administrations should trust teachers, that teachers can do their job well. Support, mm-hmm. if they need support, suggest, I don't know, training, help, but trust as well. And and about the word which should be used less, again, I am talking from Ukrainian perspective.
Sure.
And what I can observe that sometimes we continue to believe that the plans we made in 2021 are still achievable. Mm-hmm. So the word plan, it's not the word that should use less, should be used less, but fixed plan is the word that should be used used less, because world is changing and changing quite fast, and to review the purpose, to review the content is so important, especially now when our life has changed so much and our ability to teach and learn has changed so much.
Thank you so much, Olga, for sharing your ideas and sharing your insights with us today, and to bring a little bit of knowledge and ideas, and perhaps you raised more questions for the listeners than you gave answers, but I think that's important to have this insight in how you are working and what you're doing, and what you, as somebody from Ukraine who's working in exile at the moment from Germany, that you gave us an idea about what that means and what is your opinion and your idea about certain aspects. So thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
It was such a pleasure, and I hope we have the time to talk again. In the end of our podcast, I had the idea that it would be interesting to talk the next time with you and a colleague, perhaps from Germany, to see how different the point of views are. So perhaps we do something together with Katrin and or Suzanne next time, talking about the program you are at the moment develop together. So let's see. You find this podcast, those who listen to it know how to find it. You find it on our website, you find it on Spotify. And if you have informations, if you have topics or guests you would like to ask to invite to this podcast, please feel free to send us an email, and all the links and further informations, all the aspects Olga pointed out, if there's a show note, if there's a link, you will find it in the show notes of this podcast. So thank you for listening, and dear Olga, thank you so much for your perspective. I hope we meet soon and we continue our joint projects.
Yeah, sure we will. Thank you very much, Claudia.
Thank you.